Narcissus and Asphodel. The daffodil is an excellent flower to use in charms for love and charms for fertility. Magically, the daffodil is associated with luck, fertility, and love. Daisy, Chrysanthemum leucanthemum. Also known as field daisy and the eye of the day, the daisy is commonly associated with love and flirtation. We have all plucked the petals from a daisy. He loves me. He loves me not. Magically, the daisy is associated with love, hope, and innocence. Use the daisy in magic associated with children as well. Gardenia. Gardenia species. Gardenia is an excellent flower that attracts tranquil energy to a place or individual. Adding gardenia petals to a healing sachet or using them in a healing ritual incorporates this tranquil energy and helps the healing move at a controlled pace. Gardenia is also commonly used in love spells and charms. Magically, gardenia is associated with harmony, healing, love, and peace. Geranium, Pelargonium species. Grown indoors or out, geraniums carry strong protective energy and extend this energy through the area around them. Red geraniums have traditionally been associated with protection. Rose geranium is used in love spells. Magically, geraniums are associated with fertility, love, healing, courage, and protection. Hyacinth, Muscari racemosum, Hyacinthus nonscriptus. Both grape and wild hyacinths have a lovely spring-like scent. The perennial wild hyacinth, also known as the bluebell, is smaller and daintier than the cultivated grape hyacinth. Hyacinths bloom for only a short period of time, but in that short period produce a vibrant energy. Hyacinths are named for the youth of Greek legend, beloved of Apollo, whose accidental death Apollo commemorated by creating the flower. Hyacinths are magically associated with love, happiness, and protection. Iris, Iris florentina. Also known as flags, the iris is a lovely spring flower magically used for purification and blessing as well as wisdom. The three petals are said to symbolize faith, wisdom, and valor. The root is called orris root, and when ground up it produces a mildly sweet powder used as a scent fixative in potpourri. Orris powder is also used for peace, harmony, and love. Jasmine, Jasminum species. Also known as jessamine, jasmine possesses a heady but delicate scent that is usually stronger at night. Because of this, it is often associated with the moon and feminine energy. Jasmine, which has long been associated with seduction and sensuality, is a perfumer's prized ingredient. Magically, jasmine is associated with love, meditation, spirituality, harmony, and prosperity. Lavender, Lavangula species. Another perennial favorite, lavender is used frequently in magical and non-magical applications. Thanks to its gentle scent, it is an ideal herb to use in conjunction with magic for children, for it encourages relaxation and sleep. Magically, lavender is associated with peace, harmony, tranquility, love, purification, and healing. Lilac, Syringa vulgaris. The sweet, wild scent of lilacs in late spring is a heady experience. The flowers of this shrub are usually white or shades of purple. Magically, they are used for protection and banishing negative energy. Lily, Lilium species. The lily family is very large. In general, lilies are associated with protection and the elimination of hexes. Day lilies bring to mind the concept of cycles. In some cultures, lilies are associated with the concept of death and the afterlife, supporting the association with rebirth and cycles. Lily of the Valley, Convallaria megalis. This tiny cascade of white or cream-colored bell-shaped flowers has a delicate scent. Magically, it enhances concentration and mental ability and is used to encourage happiness. Pansy, Viola tricolor. Also known as Love and Idleness and Johnny Jump Up, the pansy is a hardy, cheerful-looking plant with multicolored flowers related to the violet. It blooms throughout the summer and comes in both annual and perennial varieties. Magically, it is used for divination, communication, happiness, and love. Poppy, Poppaver rhoeus. Also known as the corn poppy, the red poppy is a bright flower with a furry green stem and leaves. Although the red poppy, Poppaver rhoeus, is a gentle narcotic in large quantities, it is the Poppaver somniferum species of poppies that is toxic and the source of opium. Poppy seeds are used in cooking and baking, and sometimes oil is extracted to be used in cooking as well. Magically, the poppy is associated with tranquility, fertility, prosperity, love, sleep, and invisibility. Rose, Rosa species. Across cultures and throughout history, the rose is one of the most famous flowers. Its scent is unmistakable. Folklore and literature have made the rose synonymous with love, although that is far from being the only association it carries. Roses create an atmosphere of beauty that encourages closeness with nature. The rose is a very feminine flower, and is edible if unsprayed and prepared correctly. See Chapter 9 for recipes using roses and other flowers. The real flower has a gentle scent. It is unfortunate that artificially scented rose products are heavy and overly sweet. Magically, the rose is associated with healing, divination, tranquility, harmony, psychic ability, spirituality, and protection. Snapdragon, Antirrhinum magus. Snapdragons have a lovely, innocent energy. Magically, they are used for protection, particularly from illusion or deception, or to reflect negative energy to its source. Plant snapdragons along the perimeter of your garden to protect it. Sunflower, Helianthus species. Also known as Peruvian marigold, the sunflower is, of course, associated with the sun and its energy, which means it carries magical associations of happiness, success, and health. The sunflower is also associated with welcome and family. The plant's abundant seeds carry the magical associations of fertility. Sunflowers are excellent in a celebration ritual or during a summer solstice ritual. Germinate the seeds and then plant them to increase the energy of abundance in your garden in general. Be sure you choose specific seeds meant for planting instead of planting random seeds, so you will know what size of sunflower to expect. Tulip, Tulipa species. The chalice or cup-like shape of the tulip makes this flower ideal for use for prosperity and abundance magic. The tulip is also associated with protection, love, and happiness. Violet, Viola odorata. Also known as sweet violet, the violet is a delicate flower used for peace, hope, harmony, protection, luck, love, sleep, and tranquility. Use violet in charms and sachets designed to maintain tranquility and to encourage peace, particularly among people. Combine violet with lavender for a child's herbal pillow to aid sleep and calm nightmares. Violet also has aspects of fertility and abundance, which are reflected in how easily the plant propagates itself. Potent herbs and greens. Generally, a plant referred to as an herb possesses some sort of medicinal, culinary, or magical value. Botanists and gardeners sometimes differentiate herbs from other plants by the stem. If the plant has a woody stem above the ground, it's not an herb, but a tree or a shrub. According to this definition, mint is an herb, but rosemary is not. In the magical and spiritual world, however, the term herb is used as a catch-all for the bits of trees, flowers, spices, and all sorts of plants. Herbs thus form a huge portion of the green witch's practice. Following the herbs, you'll find some miscellaneous greens that are also useful, though often overlooked. The following list comprises some aromatic and culinary herbs. Allspice, Pimenta officinalis. Also known as pimento or Jamaican pepper, the dried allspice berry is a common staple in the kitchen spice rack. Called allspice because it incorporates flavors such as clove, cinnamon, and pepper, it is a common flavoring for spice cookies. The sweet yet spicy aroma is released when the dried berry is crushed. Allspice berries make wonderful additions to prosperity blends and any magic focusing on increasing energy, love, healing, and luck. Angelica. Angelica Archangelica. Also known as archangel or angel's herbs, this fragrant plant has been used throughout the centuries for improving digestion, flavoring wines and liqueurs, and making candy. Magically, it is particularly powerful when used for protection and purification. Basil, Osimum basilicum. Also known as sweet basil and St. Joseph's wort, basil is commonly found in spice racks and in kitchen gardens all over Europe and the Americas. It is extremely versatile in the culinary arts and is an excellent all-purpose magical herb as well. Basil is used for prosperity, success, peace, protection, happiness, purification, tranquility, and love. Bay, Laurus nobilis. Also known as sweet bay and sweet laurel, bay was used to crown the victor of games in ancient Greece and Rome. Bay is magically associated with success, wisdom, and divination. Write a wish on a bay leaf and burn it, or sleep with it under your pillow for dreams that offer some sort of guidance as to how to pursue your goal. If you burn the bay leaf, make sure your area is well ventilated, for the smoke can be mildly hallucinogenic. Chamomile, Chamomelium nobile, Matricaria recutata. Also known as manzanilla, chamomile, both the Roman and German varieties, is another versatile, popular, magical, and medicinal herb. It is excellent for soothing stomach problems, headaches, and nerves, and is an ideal herb to give to children. Magically, it is used for prosperity, peace, healing, harmony, and happiness. Calendula, Calendula officinalis. Although sometimes identified as the pot marigold, calendula is not the common marigold, Tagetes species. Calendula is edible, whereas the garden marigold is not. Calendula has been used medicinally to treat skin irritations, such as eczema, bruises, scars, and scrapes. Magically, it is used for happiness, prosperity, love, psychic powers, and harmony. Cinnamon, Cinnamomum species. Cinnamon is one of the must-have multi-purpose herbs in a green witch's stock. It possesses a great amount of energy, and a pinch can be added to anything to rev up the power level. It is also excellent for spells and charms involving money. Magically, cinnamon is associated with success, action, healing, protection, energy, love, prosperity, and purification. Caraway, Carum carvi. The seed of the caraway plant is excellent to use for protection against negativity. It's also a good anti-theft herb, so add some to the garden sachets you place outdoors to keep little animal intruders from nibbling at your plants, as well as in protective sachets or charms in your home. Magical associations include health, mental abilities, protection, fidelity, and anti-theft. Clove, Syzygium aromaticum. The small dried bud of the clove plant is used in cooking, baking, and magic. Magically, clove is associated with protection, purification, mental ability, and healing. Add 3 cloves to a sachet or charm to tie in protective and purifying energy to keep the charm's action pure and focused for a longer period of time. A sachet of rosemary, angelica, sage, 3 cloves, and a pinch of salt tied shut with red thread or ribbon is a good all-purpose sachet to hang above a door or in your car to turn away negativity and protect the area. Comfrey, Symphytum officinale. Also known as bone set or knit bone, comfrey is renowned as a healing herb. Magically, it is associated with health, healing, protection during travel, and prosperity. Dill, Anethum graveolens. Also known as dillweed, Dill comes in two forms, seed and weed, which is the feathery, dried leaves of the plant. Either may be used in green witch work. Dill is magically used for good fortune, tranquility, prosperity, lust, and protection. Ginger, Zingiber officinale. Wild or cultivated, ginger root is an ideal herb to add to rituals and spells because it acts like a booster for the power involved. Like the energy of cinnamon, the heat of the ginger revs up the energy associated with your work. Ginger can also be used to jumpstart love, stimulate finances, and increase the potential for success in just about anything. Medicinally, it is used for fighting colds, calming the stomach, and suppressing nausea. Marjoram, Origanum marjorana. Also known as winter sweet, marjoram is similar to oregano, but sweeter and milder. Marjoram was used by the ancient Greeks to crown newly married couples. It is used for happiness, protection, love, and joy, particularly in family environments. Oregano, Origanum vulgari, a similar herb, is used for love, courage, and action. Mint, Mentha species. There is a wide variety of green or garden mints, which are versatile herbs to grow in a garden or on the kitchen windowsill. An infusion of the leaves will help ease most headaches, stimulate the appetite, and aid digestion. Magical associations are prosperity, joy, fertility, purification, love, and success. Mugwort, Artemisia vulgaris. Also known as Artemisia and sailor's tobacco, mugwort is another ubiquitous witchy herb. A decoction of the leaves is said to help open your mind before you try divination. Magically, it is associated with prophetic dreams and divination, relaxation and tranquility, protection, banishing, and consecration. Nutmeg, Myristica fragrans. Medicinally, nutmeg quells nausea and soothes digestive problems, although it can be toxic in large doses. Magically, it is associated with psychic abilities, happiness, love, money, and health. Parsley, Petrosalinum crispum. In ancient Greece, parsley was used for such varied purposes as sprinkling on corpses to neutralize the smell of decay and making victors' crowns to celebrate success. It is magically associated with power, strength, lust, purification, and prosperity. Both the seeds and the leaves can be used. Rosemary, Rosmarinus officinalis. Practical applications of rosemary include use as a skin tonic applied externally and as a hair rinse to add shine to dark hair and soothe itchy scalp. An infusion taken as a tea will help ease a headache. Magical associations include protection, improving memory, wisdom, health, and healing. Sage, Salvia species. Sage is perhaps the herb most commonly used for purification and protection. An infusion taken as a tea will help settle a sour stomach and ease digestion, and can help calm anxiety as well. Magical associations include purification and protection, wisdom, health, and long life. Verbena, Verbena officinalis, Verbena species. Also known as vervain, enchanter's herb, herb of grace, and vanvan, verbena is an excellent all-purpose herb. Medicinally, an infusion of verbena helps calm headaches, eases stress, and makes a relaxing bedtime tea. Magically versatile, verbena is associated with divination, protection, inspiration, abundance, love, peace, tranquility, healing, prosperity, skill in artistic performance, and the reversal of negative activity. Make a verbena oil by infusing the fresh plant in a light olive oil or grapeseed oil to use as a standard blessing protection oil. Add crumbled verbena leaves to any sachet to round out the positive energies you are drawing together. It is an excellent all-purpose herb to add to any charm bag or spell to encourage success. Yarrow, Achillea millefolium. Also known as milfoil, milfoy, yarroway, or bloodwort. Yarrow is a common garden herb grown for its attractive silvery foliage. The leaves and stem of yarrow, harvested in late summer, have traditionally been used as a poultice to stanch blood. Magically, it is used for courage, healing, and love. Moss. Moss is a type of plant that is the first to grow in a seemingly barren area. It's also tenacious and survives in the oddest places where you wouldn't think anything could grow. Moss prefers a humid, shady environment and can and will grow on trees, rocks, dead wood, and soil, anywhere there may be a small crack or gap where particles of soil can collect. It can grow with no apparent place to root whatsoever, which is possible because moss technically does not have roots. Moss absorbs water through its leaves. Because it survives with little maintenance and in improbable locations, moss is associated with perseverance, patience, nurturing, and grounding. Because it is lush even in seemingly inhospitable areas, it's also associated with serenity and calm. Ferns. Ferns are lovely, ethereal plants that range from fragile to remarkably sturdy. They grow in a variety of climates and settings, depending on the genus and species. They're often associated with invisibility, love, chastity, protection from evil, and unlocking doors. Grass. Grass is so common that most green witches overlook it. Grass isn't found only on our lawns. It's also found tall and waving by the roadside, or growing through cracks in alleyways or vacant lots. Like moss, it is associated with serenity. Grass also has a quirky humor. If you want it to grow, it will resist, whereas if you try to get rid of it, it will keep popping up. Grass is a trickster. It's also highly adaptable. Using stones, the bones of the earth. Although they're not usually thought of as growing things like plants and trees, stones are sometimes referred to as the bones of the earth. Small, non-perishable, and convenient, stones and crystals constitute a very useful element of the green witch's practice. Don't overlook working with gems and crystals simply because they don't pop up in your back garden like regular granite and clay do. Stones have multiple uses in green magic. They can be empowered on their own and carried or left in specific areas. They can also be worn as jewelry, added to potpourris and herbal blends, powdered and added to incenses, added whole to incenses while they mature, but remove them before you burn the incense, added to oils, tucked into potted plants, and buried. The possibilities are endless. Here are 20 stones of use to the Green Witch. Moss agate. Moss agate is used for healing, for calm, and for stress relief. Moss agate looks like strands of moss caught in ice or in a translucent, blurry crystal. Like most green stones, it is associated with nature. Tree agate. Tree agate is much like moss agate, except instead of looking like strands of green caught in translucent crystal, it looks like strands of green twining through an opaque white stone. Amethyst. Amethyst is purple quartz and is associated with psychic power, truth, balance, protection, and healing. Aventurine. Aventurine is a green opaque stone with tiny flecks of gold in it. It is associated with luck, prosperity, and health. Bloodstone. Bloodstone is a green opaque stone with flecks of red in it. Magically, it is associated with health, especially of the blood, and protection. Carnelian. Carnelian is a milky orange stone. Magically, it is associated with success and manifestation. Citrine. Citrine is yellow quartz and often appears as yellow ice or as yellow and white. It is found in points and as a tumbled stone. It works to calm nightmares, aids in digestion, focuses the mind, and enhances creativity. Hematite. Hematite is a dull silver-colored stone. It can also show up as black, brown, and reddish-brown. In the Middle Ages, it was called a bloodstone, so if you come across a reference to a bloodstone, make sure you know which stone is being referred to. Hematite has iron in it and magically is associated with grounding excess or unbalanced energy. It also deflects negativity and is thus associated with defense, healing, and justice. Jade. Usually green, this stone is associated with wisdom, prosperity, fertility, health, and protection. Jasper. Found in many colors, jasper is most commonly red. It is good for grounding and stabilizing energy, and for protection and courage. Bury jaspers in the four corners of your garden to deepen its connection to the earth and secure its energy for more balanced growth and yield. Lapis lazuli. A deep blue stone with flecks of gold, lapis lazuli is associated with leadership, communication, stress relief, creativity, joy, and harmony. Malachite. A deep green stone with bands or circles of lighter green, malachite is associated with fertility and earth mysteries. Malachite is a wonderful stone for green witches to work with, for it helps strengthen your connection to the world of nature. Try carrying or wearing a piece of malachite while you communicate with the world of green, whether you are tramping through a field or digging in your backyard. See how it affects your work and your perceptions. Moonstone. A milky white stone, sometimes with overtones of green, peach, or gray, the moonstone is magically associated with protection during travel, children, love, and peace. It also has a connection to the goddess. Quartz, clear. An easily obtained stone, a clear quartz crystal looks like ice, often with small inclusions, which do not affect the stone's energy at all. Quartz crystal amplifies energy, stores power, enhances psychic ability, and absorbs negativity. It has become immensely popular and can be found in tumbled form and in point form, which is how it grows, and is often set in jewelry. Quartz crystal is an excellent all-purpose stone to work with. Quartz, rose. Another common stone, rose quartz looks like pink ice. Like other quartz crystals, rose quartz amplifies and stores energy. Rose quartz is specifically used to boost self-esteem and encourage self-love, for emotional healing, to foster affection, and to transform negative energy into positive, supportive energy. Quartz, smoky. Smoky quartz is a gray quartz used for grounding and to clear obstacles. It strengthens intuition and helps manifest thought into action, goals into reality. Snowflake obsidian. An opaque black stone with spots that look like white or pale gray snowflakes, this stone is used for protection. Regular obsidian, which is all black, is also used for protection. I prefer to use snowflake obsidian in green witch work, as it reminds me of winter and midnight, two important parts of the natural cycle of days and seasons. Sodalite. A dark blue stone with white or gray veins, sodalite is used for balancing emotions and enhancing wisdom. Tiger's eye. A glossy, satiny brown stone with bands of satiny dark gold, the tiger's eye is used for strength, courage, luck, and prosperity. Turquoise. A pale blue stone with fine black or gray lines running through it, turquoise is an excellent children's stone, for it protects and strengthens gently. It also helps focus the mind and will. Cleansing stones. Before you use a stone, it is important to cleanse and purify it. Cleansing is a physical removal of dirt or debris. Just wash the stone in plain water and scrub it with a cloth or brush if necessary. Purifying the stone means cleaning its energy. Before you use a stone for any magical purpose, it should always be purified. There are several ways to purify a stone. Leave it in sunlight or moonlight for a specific period of time. Bury it in a small dish of salt for 1 to 3 days. Salt is a natural purifier. Never use salt to cleanse a stone that has iron in it, such as hematite, or if it is set in metal, for the metal will rust. Bury it in a small dish of dirt for a measured period of time. Earth will accomplish the same purpose in the same way that salt does, though it may take longer. Immerse the stone in water for a measured period of time. Moving water will purify it faster, although leaving the stone in a small bowl of water for a longer period will work as well. You can add a small pinch of salt to the dish of water to speed the process, unless you are cleansing a stone set in metal or a stone with iron content, such as hematite. How long you leave the stone to purify by your chosen method depends on how much foreign energy is clinging to it. See the following. Attuning to stones. Before you use a stone for a magical purpose, get to know its particular energy so that when you test its energy later on, you have an idea of how much purification it requires. When you first bring a stone home from a rock shop or from the great outdoors, cleanse and purify it using one of the previous methods for one full week to ensure that it has been completely cleared of any foreign energy. Don't worry, you cannot remove the innate energy of an object, so it's impossible to over-purify. When the week is up, prepare yourself by finding a quiet space and settling down with the stone and your Green Witch notebook. Take 3 deep breaths, releasing tension and focusing on the stone in your hand with each exhalation. Begin by testing the energy of the stone by using one of the energy sensing methods given in Chapter 3. How does the stone's energy feel to you? Make as many observations and associations as you can. Remember to write them down. What is important is that you are making personal observations about the energy, not that you hit on the same correspondences that are traditionally associated with the stone. Once you have an idea of how the energy of the stone feels to you while it is completely natural and unaffected by any other energy, you will be able to evaluate the stone before any future use to determine how much purification it will need. Everyone senses energy in a different way, but perhaps the stone will feel particularly heavy or negative to you, or you will gain a sense of wrongness, or simply a difference from what you expect to feel when you next pick it up to use it. If the stone feels drastically different, purify the stone for a longer period of time. If you have used the stone for a previous magical purpose, it is important to purify it, even if it was for the same intention, for as the stone is used, it can collect other energies. As you become more experienced in sensing energy, you will be able to identify how much purification a stone needs by comparing its current energy with what you know its base natural energy is. Empowering stones. To prepare a stone for magical use once it has been purified, you must program or empower it. This step aligns the stone's natural energy with your magical intention. While the stone's natural energies will function even if you do not empower it with your magical intention, they will function in accordance to your desire much more efficiently if you program it with your precise need and magical goal. To program a stone with your intention, hold it between your palms. Close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths, centering yourself and focusing on your magical goal. Visualize your goal as already achieved, which means you should take a minute or two to daydream about how terrific you'll feel once the situation is the way you want it. Now visualize a sparkling light forming around your hands. This sparkling light is the energy summoned from within you to empower the stone. It is energy programmed with your magical goal. Imagine the sparkling light being absorbed into the stone. At this point, say aloud what your goal is and what the stone is to be used for. For example, you may say, "This stone brings me prosperity," if you are programming it for financial success or abundance. Some people find it easier to repeat a phrase like this over and over in order to raise and focus the energy upon what they are empowering. I tend to be a very quiet Green Witch, so I quietly whisper my chosen phrase over and over until the words become a stream of sound. I visualize that sound being directed into the stone. Once the energy has been absorbed into the stone has been programmed with your magical intention and empowered for that use. Chapter 6. Keep a Green Witch Garden. The garden is an important element of the Green Witch's practice. Working with nature does not always mean immersing yourself in the great outdoors. As many modern Green Witches are discovering, both out of necessity and in their desire to adapt to the needs of the modern world, there are many other methods of interacting with nature's energy. Creative solutions are required in urban areas. This chapter looks at how the concept of the garden functions in the modern urban Green Witch's reality. The wilderness is not the antithesis of civilization. The two are environmental extremes that complement each other, People require a secure environment in order to function well. And so, over the millennia, we have carved out sections of the wilderness and organized them. The city is not evil, and the wilderness is not automatically good. Because the modern urban green witch understands this, part of her calling involves bridging the gap between wild and civilized. There will always be some products you will not be able to grow where you live. Not many people in North America, for example, can grow cinnamon. You don't have to break your back and your budget trying to forge a personal energetic connection with highly exotic plants that won't grow where you live. Do what you can, when you can. Growing plants whose energy you can work with offers you a more than adequate opportunity for a deeper dialogue experience and interaction with nature. The power in a garden. The practice of green witchcraft is innately tied to the agricultural cycle, which dictated the rhythm of the lives of our ancestors. The agricultural societies of yesteryear focused on the seasonal changes of soil and crops. Witchcraft's concern with fertility, sowing, tending, and reaping, metaphorically and otherwise, is rooted in that agricultural tradition. It thus makes a certain kind of sense that the Green Witch has a strong spiritual and personal connection to nature and the land. The connection to nature is also a practical one. The witch's garden provides a ready source of food as well as components of spells and ingredients for various remedies. By working with a garden indoors or out, the Green Witch is interacting with nature on a personal basis. Hands-on practice offers you the opportunity to physically feel your connection to nature. It gives you the simple pleasure of working in harmony with the natural cycle. Working with a garden of any kind also allows you to meditate on the concept of harmony and balance in a completely different way. There is a very real give and take of energy involved in tending a garden. The time and care you put into maintaining the garden is directly reflected in the garden's health and what you harvest. Like a person, a garden is also in a constant state of change. Just as you solve one problem in your life and another pops up, what you do to tend your garden one week may be different from what you do the next week. The sun may beat down without mercy for weeks, drying your precious plants to a crisp, only to be followed by a monsoon-like week of pouring rain that nearly drowns what you've managed to salvage. Working with a garden is a continuous lesson in patience, acceptance, and recognition that nature functions as an independent system that operates no matter what we humans do. The harvest from the Green Witch's garden. Are herbs you buy less powerful than those you grow? Are the spices you use off your kitchen shelf any less powerful than those from your garden? It depends on who you ask. Hands-on work allows a Green Witch to understand the energy and power of a plant from seed to dried form. However, even the ground spices on your spice rack originally came from a natural source. Being practical, the Green Witch uses what she has on hand. You don't have to harvest the plant yourself in order to use its energy. You can reach out and touch the energy of the herb and make a personal connection with purchased herbs. If you want something that isn't local, you can buy it from an herbalist, a metaphysical supply shop, or online. If you buy herbs from one of these sources, however, be sure to use them only for magical purposes. Don't be tempted to make tea unless the purchased herb is certified as being safe for internal consumption. A garden and climate zone map can be an immense help to you as you plan your garden. Climate zones are determined by maximum and minimum temperatures, which in turn determine what plants can thrive in the area. You can see the USDA National Plant Hardiness Zone map on the United States National Arboretum webpage, the introduction to which can be found at www.usna.usda.gov/hardzone/index.html. As for fresh versus dried, the energy is similar, though in different forms. Think of the energy of a live plant as running water, whereas the dried herb's energy might be like the water in a cup. As long as the plant is alive, its energy flows. Once harvested, the energy of the plant is like water caught in a container. It continues being water, and it has the energy of the water, but the energy is still instead of flowing. What you need to do with the energy of a plant or herb and where and how you need to do your work will help you determine whether to use fresh or dried. Using fresh plant matter in a sachet, for example, isn't a good idea because the fresh leaves will mold and rot. Designing your garden. The urban green witch faces several challenges when it comes to gardening and creating a personal space in which to commune with nature. In a city or suburb, many people do not have an ideal space in which to lay out a garden. If you don't have a strip of earth somewhere along the path to your front door, or if you're bound to an apartment and have no land at all, you may be surprised to find out that you in fact have several options. Check with your city hall or environmental division to see if your city sponsors public garden space. You can apply for one of these garden plots, which are usually fenced off and protected, often for free or at a low rental cost. You may have to travel to it, but you can grow whatever you like within legal parameters. If you prefer something closer to home, you can create a balcony or window garden. The container garden is the Green Witch's answer to the challenge of limited space and high-rise or apartment living. One of the wonderful things about container gardening on a balcony or in a window is that if the containers or the plants themselves are small enough to move easily, you can always change your arrangement. Keep notes in your journal on what plants respond well to the lighting and environment of your chosen garden space. Also keep notes on the evolution of your garden over the seasons. Next year you can create a more successful garden or experiment with something completely new. You have several options in container gardening. You can set up a window box indoors on a windowsill, hang a window box outside your window, or grow plants in pots on your patio or balcony. A good rule is to use small containers in a small space. You can group them to create a larger arrangement, but huge planters tend to overwhelm small spaces. Likewise, don't fill those small containers with large-leaved plants, which will also visually overwhelm the space. What you will be able to grow in those planters, however, depends on several factors. Here are some questions you must answer before you start planting. What will be the purpose of your garden? Do you intend to grow herbs to cook with or vegetables to eat? Is your garden to be a peaceful retreat, your personal connection to nature, your power place? If you plan well enough, you can create a sacred space where you can carry on your Green Witch dialogue with nature. Watering, weeding, and caring for a window box can be as rewarding as sitting in the middle of a national park. When will you be using your space? Will you be gardening or enjoying your space in the daytime or in the evening? Because some plants bloom and release their scent after dark, your plant selection can reflect your schedule. Realistically, how much time will you devote to maintaining your garden? What is your budget? Do you want your garden to reflect the style of the rest of your home? Do you want to do something dramatically different to contrast with your usual style? Answering these questions and making a list of what you want to get out of gardening will help you determine what kind of garden to develop. Once you have defined the purpose of your garden, you can begin to focus on how you will go about creating the garden. Make a wish list of all the plants you'd like to work with. The purpose of the garden will help you rule out certain types of plants and focus on others. Find out the ideal climate zone for each of the plants you want to grow. Some of your wish list will inevitably be crossed off because you don't live in the right kind of climate. Read up carefully on the plants that remain on your list. Some will be easy to grow, whereas others will be challenging and energy-consuming. Limits to the time and energy you have to devote to your garden will eliminate other plants on your wish list. Next, consider the projected height and diameter of plants you want. You will have to discard some because they will grow too tall or broad for your balcony or patio or containers. Remember, your containers have to be large enough to accommodate the roots of the plants you intend to grow in them. Light and weather are two other important aspects of working with a small container garden. How much sunlight does your chosen garden space receive per day? What direction does it face? If you face north, stick with shade-loving varieties. If you face east, your garden will receive early morning sunlight. If you face south, keep a close watch on your garden to ensure that the sun does not burn it or dry out every plant. If you face west, your garden will have the benefit of the warm afternoon sun. If you live on the second story or above, the wind will be harsher, which can play havoc with your plants. Anything extremely delicate will have to be sheltered. If you plant perennials, you will have to protect them during winter or during the fallow part of their cycle. Artificial light is another consideration. If you intend to spend most of your time in your garden at night, you may wish to add a specialized lighting system to highlight your plants and allow you to see clearly. Hanging lanterns can create a very serene and relaxing atmosphere, but keep safety in mind. If you use candles or oil lamps, keep the wicks low and the flames well protected from the wind. Only use lanterns that have been designed for outdoor use, and keep them away from anything flammable. Tips on planting. The urban green witch usually doesn't have a lot of space. While sprouting plants from seed to repot outdoors in a container garden is a wonderful way to forge a connection with your garden from the very first stirrings of life, it is often a challenge. Try it. If nothing sprouts, don't despair. There's no shame in buying hardened seedlings from a nursery or garden center and planting those in your containers. Be sure to use good potting soil. To ease drainage, blend another medium with it, such as peat moss, and line the base of your container with small stones. Regular garden soil isn't right for container gardens. Container gardens need soil rich in nutrients because there's so little soil in the container. If garden soil is the only thing available to you, then blend equal parts of sand and peat moss into it. Ask your garden center about fertilizers for container gardens to maintain a high level of nutrients for your plants. Using fertilizer isn't cheating. It's nourishing your plants in an environment that cannot do it on its own. Regular general maintenance is the key to keeping your garden in balance. Look at your plants every day. Look for yellowed leaves, limp foliage, dead flowers. Nip off dying areas and water dry plants. Clay pots are porous and will lose water faster than glazed or plastic containers. Rotate pots so that all sides of the plant get equal light. Being sensitive to the status of your garden will allow you to pick up on small oddities before they grow into problems. Your watering schedule will depend on your weather, the size of your containers, and what kind of plants you're growing. Containers tend to not hold a lot of water because there isn't a lot of earth in them. The water dries up or is rapidly absorbed by the plant. A good rule is to water every couple of days unless you're in a dry spell, in which case water every day. If carrying heavy cans or pitchers of water is difficult for you, consider getting a hose attachment for your kitchen tap. Caring for your garden naturally. There are several ways to cultivate your garden naturally. After all, the idea of using chemical ingredients on your garden to cultivate growth or kill invading insects is contrary to the Green Witch way. Here are some tips for using natural methods to increase the bounty of your garden. Composting. Composting is the practice of returning organic matter to the earth, where it can decompose and add its nutrients to the soil. Although composting is usually thought of as something landowners do, as it traditionally consists of creating a compost pile in the corner of a yard, urban dwellers can also compost easily in a modified fashion. Vermicomposting, or using red worms to break down organic matter, is one option. Vermicomposting kits can be ordered online or obtained from ecological shops or garden centers. A less expensive and easier alternative is a compost bin. You can place the bin outdoors, which most apartment dwellers prefer, but if you have no balcony, you can put it in a dark corner of the kitchen or laundry room. Compost requires three things: warmth, dark, and food. The warmth is achieved by placing your bin close to the wall if on the balcony, or storing it under your sink if indoors. Dark is obtained by using an opaque material for the bin and by having a tight-fitting lid. The food comes from finely chopped vegetable and fruit scraps. Never add meat products or anything with grease to your compost bin. These will decompose all right, but it will smell dreadful, unbalance the compost you're building, and attract pests. You can add tea leaves, tear open your tea bags if you don't use loose tea, and coffee grounds, eggshells, fruit and vegetable scraps, and dead leaves and flowers pinched off your houseplants and container plants. The ideal container for composting is a plastic garbage can or a large Tupperware bin. Line the bottom with dead leaves or shredded newspaper. Put a layer of earth on top of that, then add your first batch of chopped food scraps and a bit of water. Stir it with a stick and replace the lid. The lid will hold the humidity inside as the food begins to decompose, but it's a good idea every once in a while to water your compost to keep it damp, but not wet. Add a bit more dry material, such as more shredded newspaper or earth, each week to ensure a good balance of carbon and nitrogen. Every time you add more scraps, Give the compost a stir to combine the new material with the older compost. Once in a while, give the whole thing a complete turnover with a small shovel or trowel to aerate the soil. In about 3 months, your compost will be ready for use. Add some to the top of each of your containers and houseplants. Be sure to leave some in your compost bin to start the next batch. If you're concerned about smells, don't worry. Good compost has a sweet, rich smell as it decomposes. To keep stronger compost odors at bay, turn it more frequently. Compost tea is made by filtering water through the compost. This produces a nutrient-rich liquid that you can use to water your houseplants and spray the foliage of your container garden to help nourish and protect the plant both above ground and below. To make a simple compost tea, 1. Loosely fill a bucket a third to halfway full of compost. Give the compost a couple of turns with the trowel to aerate it properly and break up any clumps. 2. Pour warm water, not hot or boiling, over the compost and allow it to sit for 2 to 3 days. 3. Carefully decant the resulting brown water into another bucket or pitcher. 4. Allow the wet compost to dry out to its usual damp state before returning it to your compost bin. You can use the brown compost tea to water your plants or to spray the foliage to battle pests, illness, and pollution damage. Never drink compost tea. It's not for human consumption. Air pollution. The green witch living in the city may be exposed to high levels of air pollution. Pollution can create breathing problems, of course, but it also leaves a film of grime everywhere. Not only do your windows become dirty and your walls dull over time, but your garden suffers as well. Leaves can become yellow and limp, growth can be sketchy, and the plant becomes weak. Be loving with your plants. Gently wipe off the dust that accumulates as a result of city life. If you are lucky enough to have a small plot in a city garden, hose it down regularly. Use a spray of compost tea to help nourish the plants and counteract the damage air pollution can cause. Insects and other pests. If you're working with an urban container garden, you'll probably never have to worry about deer or rabbits nibbling your seedlings down to a bare stem poking out of the ground. You will, however, still have to worry about insects. If your container garden is the haven of the usual numbers of city bugs, then burning citronella candles in the area can somewhat help thin out the insect population. If your plants develop more plant-specific insect infestations, there are a few green witch-friendly things you can do to help. The first thing to remember is that you don't have to resort to chemical insecticides. Using these in a container garden is overkill, and besides, there are cheaper and kinder alternatives. Try a natural insecticide. Make an extract of garlic, onion, or hot pepper. Take 3 tablespoons, approximately 1.5 ounces, of the vegetable matter, and chop it finely or puree it in a blender with a bit of water. Add 2 cups of water to the mixture and allow it to steep overnight or for a full day. Strain it, dilute it, so that the total amount of liquid equals 1 liter or 1 quart, and pour it into a spray bottle. Test it on a leaf of the affected plant. If the leaf responds poorly, dilute the spray some more and test again. In extreme circumstances, you can use a solution of 1 part bleach to 40 parts water to eliminate stubborn pests. Spray this over the foliage and stem of the plant, but do not soak the earth. Rinse well with clear water. This is easier if you place a plastic bag or some such thing over the earth and the container, or tilt the container so that the runoff doesn't land in the pot. When you spray, no matter what you spray with, remember to practice safe spraying habits. Always wear gloves, long sleeves, and a mask when spraying with insecticides, even natural ones. Garlic, onion, and hot pepper can all be very irritating to the mucous membranes. If you inhale the spray, it can cause pain and irritation to the throat and lungs. Don't spray when there is a strong breeze. Wait for a calm day. Do not spray during the heat of the day. Do it first thing in the morning, or wait until the evening. Always perform a test on a small area of each type of plant before you spray them all. This way you can test the strength of the spray as well as the plant's reaction to it. Never spray all your plants indiscriminately. These sprays are not all-purpose preventives. They are meant to target a specific problem. They can also kill off the beneficial insects and microbes that live among your plants. Fill your home with houseplants. If growing plants outdoors is impossible in your situation, or if you want green indoors as well as out, try houseplants. When you bring home a new houseplant, make sure to do a gentle energy purification to help acclimatize it to the energy of your living space. This also removes any negativity that may be clinging to it. You can do this for outdoor plants as well, though it may not be necessary because planting them in the ground helps stabilize and cleanse the energy clinging to them. You can do a gentle purification simply by running your hand over the plant and holding your palm and fingers about 1 to 2 inches away from the foliage. Visualize scooping up any black or smoky energy you see around the plant. Flick your hand as if you were shaking water off it to remove and disperse the negative energy. If you are concerned about the negative energy affecting the energy of your home, purify new plants before you bring them into your house. If you do the purification inside and feel uncomfortable, burn a purifying incense in the room. Remember, you can never remove the basic energy of an object, so don't worry about removing the positive energy associated with the plant. To welcome the plant into your home, bless a pitcher of water with a prayer like the following, then use it to water the houseplant. Spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, I ask your blessing on this water. Endow it with strength, protection, and peace. And may the plants that drink of it be similarly blessed. Give your new houseplant as much of this sacred drink as it requires. Use the rest for your current houseplants. Some considerations. Choosing what sorts of houseplants to bring into your home is as important as choosing the plants you grow outdoors. Carefully consider the amount of time and energy you can spare to care for houseplants. Think about the light that fills your living space, the direction from which it comes, and how bright it is. Think about how dry or humid your living space is, and the general temperatures. All these things have a great impact upon the plants you can successfully grow where you live. Think, too, about how big your rooms are. Houseplants are limited by their pots, and to grow larger, they may need larger containers. Carefully consider the energy of the plant. How will it fit in and interact with the flow of energy already established in your home? Evaluate the energy by holding your hands over the plant and sensing its energy. See the energy sensing exercises in Chapter 3. Once you have felt a plant's energy, you will be able to judge whether it will fit into your home's energy or not. Finally, it is important to remember that like all plants, houseplants absorb negative energy. However, because they are potted in a small amount of earth, they cannot transform the energy with the same success that outdoor plants in the ground can. Be kind to your houseplants. Give them an appropriate fertilizer, repot them before it becomes necessary, and purify them regularly. If you neglect them, they will eventually die from the accumulated negativity. If all your houseplants look sickly, this can be a message that it's time for you to do a complete and thorough house cleansing and purification. Chapter 7. Create and Craft Green Witch Magic. Magical lore based in the green world is the central body of knowledge in the practice of green witchcraft. This chapter examines practical and magical applications, crafts, and spells, combining the various elements of the natural world, plus tips on preparation and storage. When selecting the herbs and other natural elements that you intend to use in your crafts, it is essential to always fully research the herb, magically and medicinally. Carefully read the recommended methods of preparation in your reference books and pay close attention to cautions and notes. Certain herbs, for example, are safe to use externally, but are toxic if taken internally. If you intend to burn the plant matter, verify that the smoke is safe to inhale. In your Green Witch Journal, describe any herb you intend to use, and if there is something to remember, add a note to the label of your preparation. If you are crafting an herbal preparation for someone else, inform yourself of their sensitivities and allergies beforehand, and write out a full list of ingredients for their reference. Preparing herbs. Check your stock of preserved herbs and plants every year to see what you're low on and what has gone bad. When you harvest plant matter, Always make sure that you know what part of the plant to harvest, whether you use leaves, stems, flowers, or the root. Never collect an entire plant. Never pull it up by the roots and take the whole thing home. Take only what you need, and make sure that it's less than a quarter of what's available.